Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On Mother's Day, I stood up here and preached about the evils that are cultural Marxism and critical theory. I did that not to try to be cutting edge. I did that rather because the church, the Christian church, needs to stand up and speak against this radically different gospel. A gospel that preaches that you are a sinner not because of what Adam did, but because of the color of your skin. A gospel that seeks to destroy religion, because if you are religious, then you will not rely on the government as your God. I did that on Mother's Day. And now on Father's Day, I'm not going to rehash that entire thing, but I'm going to point out why it is so essential that we tackle this thing head on. It has been taught for years in our schools, and it has been ramped up going all the way down to elementary schools throughout our country. It teaches not that we are fallen because our first parent, Adam, failed to protect his wife from sin. He failed because he was with her, and yet the serpent tempted her, and he said nothing. She took the fruit and ate it, and he did nothing. Instead, he took the fruit right along with her, ate, and now we are dead to our own sins. These are wicked things, but this is the truth. The other truth is that you can't get past your own sins by yourself. No amount of confession to this world or any sort of group can save you from your sins. Salvation comes from only one place. Cross of Jesus Christ. The only way for any of us to be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ, in the fact that God at his proper time took upon human flesh in the womb of a virgin, a miracle in and of itself, and then that God grew in person. He lived a perfect life for every single sin that we've committed. Whether that's hatred for another person based on the tone of their skin, or whether that's any other sin, Jesus Christ died for you. We take our sins to the cross. We confess our sins because we need Jesus. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. Only faith in Jesus. We are at a crossroads, not only as a nation and as a culture, but as a world. As we seek what God's word says here in the church, the world seeks to write its own word, its own laws, devoid of natural law. Natural law has ruled societies for thousands of years. Whether those people were devout Christians or not, they understood that there was a natural law written into things. God created them, male and female. He brought the first woman that he created to the first man that he created in the gift of holy matrimony. And he blessed them. And he said, "Be fruitful and multiply," and they had children, and they subdued the earth, and they taught their children the truth of God's word. Somewhere along the line, we have stopped teaching our children the truth of God's word. And in our society today, we can no longer trust that our society will do it for us. We can no longer send our children off to school to be indoctrinated with something that goes against the gospel, and then send them off to a public university to be done even more. We need to give them a firm foundation. We need to prepare them for a world that will seek to devour them. A world that is run by the prince, the father of lies, the devil. From our epistle lesson, Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We need to simply do a better job equipping our children for that world, for a world that desires their damnation. If we are to be faithful, godly parents, then we are to write these words of God on our doorposts and in our minds. Not just literally, but also in the sense that we take God's word into our hearts, that we recite these words with our children, that we live lives according to this word. In the church, sometimes we get in a groove of doing the same thing over and over again, even when it's no longer working. And that sometimes happens in the way that we catechize. Sometimes in the way that we think, it's fine. If we just wait until they're in seventh grade and then we give them what they need, they'll be fine. The world hasn't corrupted them yet. Have you seen what Blue's Clues showed this month on Nickelodeon for 3, 4, and 5-year-olds? You think the world isn't catechizing your children out of the faith? It's time to wake up. And so we as a church and as parents need to do a better job of catechizing. We need the catechism recited week after week, day after day. We need these children prepared to receive the same life-giving body and blood that we as adults take for granted. Our children have no reason that they should be denied this wonderful gift. And in the history of the church, they hadn't been. It wasn't until this line of reasoning that it's more based on up here as opposed to here as to what we are to put down as the rules for the reception of these things. The time has come when our children are sought after to be devoured from very young, from the time that they're even in their own mother's arms. And so the church needs to be ready. The church needs to give a deeper foundation, a wider foundation, one that will struggle with that child against this devil, this world, and their own sinful flesh. The body and blood of Christ are a gift for the people of his church, a gift that gives forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation. It's not just about here, it's also about here. If you ever take time to sit down with a child and talk about what Jesus has done, you will get some incredible answers. You might not find this hard to believe, but I spend a lot of time talking about Jesus with my own children. And some of the things that they say to me make me chuckle and they make me smile. The other day I was talking to Allie, our 4-year-old, and she said that she wanted to punch the devil in the face. And I said, you go ahead and see how that works out. Ben, at the same time, who's 6 at the time, now 7, said, as we were talking about the best foods in the whole world, he said, the best food is the body and blood of Jesus. Even at that age, he understands what is in this sacrament, what is in the supper that the Lord has to offer. We teach the faith. We reconcile it with the faith of a child, and we increase that faith. We don't let up just when they seem to be getting some of this. We continue. Catechesis is for life. It is from the time that that baby is even in the womb when they can hear the life-giving word of Jesus Christ. We share the gospel. We encourage pregnant women to come to church so that their babies can hear that word. We encourage them week after week after week, because in the church, in the bride of Christ, is that saving word, is that saving gift of holy baptism as Tanner received today, is the saving gift of the body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you, Jesus says, for the forgiveness of your sins. In the church is where you will hear God borrow your pastor's voice to announce to you that you cannot save yourselves, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking to devour, not just you, but your children. And so it is time that we stand up against the world. We give our children the foundation that they need. And sometimes, yes, they will falter and fall away just like the younger son did in our gospel lesson. But if we give them the pure foundation, there is a much better chance that he will see his error just as this younger son did. Notice the younger son does not think, oh, well, I'm the father's son, therefore I deserve everything good that the father had to give. No, he repents. He acknowledges that he has fallen farther away than he ever should have. And so he is determined to go back to his father. He is determined to say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me one of your servants. And so he goes and he confesses. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be even called your son. When we sin, we are in the same boat. In the waters of holy baptism, we are made sons of the Most High God, the Father Almighty. But when we sin and we debase ourselves, when we ingest those things of the world and sin, we say we're not even worthy to be your sons. And so we confess our sins before heaven and before those that we've hurt. We live a life based not on what our feelings are, not based on what we want, but we base our life on what God's word demands of us. And we will fail. And when we fail, we fall on our knees, we cry out to heaven, and we say, God, I am not worthy to be called your son. And the Father looks at you, and he says, Son, because of my only begotten Son, I love you. His blood now covers you. The robe of righteousness given in baptism washes you of your sins. I have killed the fatted calf, slain for your sins. You're covered. You are mine. And the Father says to the whole world who is jeering at those sinners who have turned around at the foot of the cross, and they say, but why? I followed you. Don't you think I deserve these good things? And the Father announces to the world this. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. The fatted calf has been killed. Let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The church sings, Lord, on you I cast my burden, sink it in the deepest sea. Let me know your gracious pardon, cleanse me from iniquity. Let your spirit leave me never, make me only yours forever. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.